commence primary ignition.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly.
What a piece of junk.
Enterprise, this is the captain.
I got a bad feeling about this.
It's all part of the plan.
Engage.
Welcome back to Podcast 2-for-1. I'm your host, Donovan Thompson, with my co-host,
Daniel Wingfield.
In today's episode 151 of Podcast 2-for-1.
Oh, man. Listen, we got one past 150, and it's just like we're not caring about anything. Quality control gone.
It is.
You know what I mean? It's like we don't have to do that anymore. We've got such a faithful fan base of two or three people that nothing we can do will ever scare them away. So it's kind of nice. It's a place that most podcasts don't get to, but we did because we're really good at this. So.
I was thinking the same thing. It's kind of wild. It's weird how we just sync up.
You would have thought we would have scripted it. Just like,
yeah. Mm. And if you haven't already, hit that subscribe button and notification bell. That way you're up to date on all future episodes of Podcast 2-for-1. YouTube.com/2for1studio is the best place to consume the content. And if you didn't know, and let's face it, you probably didn't. We are sponsored by Kapow Comics, located at 4047 East Kill Avenue in Sherwood, Arkansas. There they are. I forgot. We haven't done this in like 2 weeks. We've been on the scheduled out podcast. Yeah. We haven't actually had to record in a while.
You need to do a podcast by yourself, even on the off weeks, just to stay in practice. Yeah. I mean, I think you just got to do it on your own.
Yeah.
You know, in the shower or something, whatever works.
I think I'll just come here and I'll record myself just doing that opening for like 30
over and over
straight.
Yeah. Over and over until it's perfect.
And then save them and
until
then have a
throat is bleeding
backlog.
From just like the wear and tear.
Yeah.
You need to push yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm not going hard enough on 2-for-1.
Right.
Exactly. And there they have comic books, graphic novels, and of course special guest appearances throughout the year.
Kabow.
Jesus Christ. Okay, let's get this thing started.
Okay.
As our faithful following should know, if they keep up with anything news-related in the geek culture stratosphere, James Gunn has officially announced their DC Chapter 1, at least the first half of what they call Chapter 1, Gods and Monsters, which is the title of this phase. We had a lot of questions going into this, Daniel. I think every day I was messaging, not every day, but close to, I was like, guys, we have like a couple days left in January.
Yeah.
We're supposed to make the announcement. Guys, it's like one day left in January. Where's the announcement? And they kept true to their promise where they announced a partial slate of this first chapter. And we thought we definitely got answers to a lot of things, but also it raised a lot more questions as well, which is, it's frustrating because I feel like that's always the case with everything nowadays. It's like we never just get closed. Like, here is definitive what's going on. It's always, here's five questions to your two answers. And it's like, oh, my God. But
it's interesting. You know, just I wonder if it's because, at least for Marvel, because it feels like maybe the slate is changing because of some of the reactions to the first parts that they've been delivering. Maybe it just makes me think, like, you know, Marvel used to be very forthcoming about everything that was coming out when, and like it was all pretty much on the table, and they still are to an extent. I don't know, it's just like it's safer to keep, it's, you know, it's more like, you know, video games or like other people where they just like the development process is all secretive, and you'll get news when they're ready for it, and it may be because they're changing things or, you know, doing things to go with trends and stuff. Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, we'll kind of get into all that. So real quick, I want to kind of talk about the things that we have coming out so far before this chapter starts, right?
Yes.
I know you'll probably hear me say phase for all you listeners out there. Instead of chapter, it's just kind of synonymous at this point with comic book movies and stuff. So this year alone, we have next coming up in March, Shazam, Fury of the Gods. And then we have The Flash in June. And then I believe sometime in August, September, we have Blue Beetle coming out. And then we have in December, Christmas time this year, we have Aquaman 2. And that is roughly, I believe, the remaining movies for like the previous regime at Warner Brothers, like Walter Hamada and all them, before David Zaslav come in. you know, he canceled Batgirl, and then all these other movies got pushed back. So that's kind of the current slate of, like, let's just say Earth One DC movies, right? We still knew that the Batman Part Two was potentially going to be made. They were kind of like weird about officially saying it. And we know that Joker Two, Joker Folie à Deux, is coming out with Lady Gaga, and that's filming right now. So we know that there's some things like that happening, right? And we also know that a lot of these CW shows were being canceled. Then HBO Max was like whoring out some of their other properties, like, to other streaming services. Just a lot of confusion going on and a lot of things. So those are like the four Earth One movies that are coming out, right? I'll call the Snyderverse, things that are remnants of the Snyderverse, right? With the preview, like Henry Cavill and all these people. And so, yeah, I mean, James Gunn kind of came out and said, like, roughly, here's 10 movies and TV projects that kind of encompass the first half of this chapter called Gods and Monsters. And so essentially, they said that this will be the canon, right? This is the gospel, so to speak. It's all in one universe. And then anything that happens outside of that, we're going to clearly label DC Elseworlds. And things like the Batman Part Two, which is the title of it officially, which I think it works. It's like, of course, it's they're going to call it. It's like very Godfather-y, you know, artsy kind of title. And then we got an official release date for that as well in October of 2025, I believe.
And that is an Elseworld?
And that's an Elseworlds. Yeah, it's official. It's Earth 2, so to speak. And so we also have Joker, Elseworlds movie. And they said anything that's like coming out, like Teen Titans Go, for example, the animations will be clearly labeled DC Elseworlds. Like, they're even going far as like, to label the animation stuff and, like, you know, the games and those kind of things. That if it's not in our universe, then it's going to be Elseworlds. So they said roughly that after these four remaining movies come out, Shazam, Flash, Blue Beetle, and Aquaman, like, the true DC Studios movies start in 2025. I think it's July 11th, my birthday movie that year. Superman Legacy, right? And so that's kind of the first start of the DC
studios. What year would you say?
2025. So we have roughly 2.5 years from right now, roughly, until it comes out. Which makes sense because James Gunn is still writing the script right now. So he's not done yet writing that. Right here, July 11th. So basically, that's the start of it. But it's not the first property coming out to start this chapter. We have a few TV things coming out before then. Which is interesting, right? So
that are Earth One?
That are Earth One. That's DC Studios Chapter One, Gods and Monsters. It is interesting. So to answer a few questions, one, is this a total reboot, right? So we kind of thought this is the perfect opportunity for the Flash to come out, Flashpoint, so to speak, right? Where he's going to go back in time and travel back in time, and ultimately it's going to kind of reset the universe, right? It was always baked in there. We knew that, you know, this was going to be the case, right? We knew, like, they were already having troubles with it. This kind of been the idea for a Flash movie for a long time. And it kind of just, like, always a perfect way to reset things. So the previous regime was already kind of working on this, right? They were already kind of trying to get away from the Snyderverse or all these other really wild, like, unconnected things that were happening. You know, Mara's British in Snyder Cut. The Snyder Cut exists, right? Which already contradicts
this. Yes.
You know, I mean, like, and, you know, Aquaman needs, like, a bubble to talk in the Justice League movie with Joss Whedon directed and the Zack Snyder one. But then he can talk underwater. You know, I mean, like, it's just, there's, like, that's just, like, the smallest
it's just of, sloppy. Like,
continuity things. It's very sloppy, right? Marvel's not without continuity errors. Yeah. But they try really hard to not, you know.
Act like they care about them, where DC just doesn't seem to, at least up to this point, hasn't cared.
Yeah, almost as bad as the X-Men movies. Almost. But not quite.
I mean, are you saying, like, the original three compared to, like, the younger versions versus, like, the older movies of the younger version?
I mean,
like,
trying to figure out the timeline of the Foxverse is
pretty, well, it was stupid that
it's a challenge.
That they made the new one an actual prequel to the actual. They should have just rebooted it and done, like, a young X-Men thing instead of it trying to be in canon, like, James McAvoy being Patrick Stewart, younger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. That was the issue.
Which,
of course.
And I mean, Marvel, who knows what they're going to do? Who knows what the lineage of the Marvel's X-Men will be? I have no clue.
I don't either. That's a whole other podcast. Yes. We will talk about that probably in a couple of weeks when Ant-Man Quantumania drops very soon. Which initial reactions are already out, by the way. Very excited.
Are they positive?
They are positive.
Is it the best Marvel movie to date? Which almost all the initial reactions someone says.
It's the best Ant-Man movie to date.
That's good. I have liked the Ant-Man movies more than most people. I have too. I'm excited.
I have too. So, you know, the thing is, back to our question, is this a full reset, right? And the answer, we kind of was like, okay, look, if you're not going to cast Henry Cavill as Superman, then throw everybody out, right? Like, recast Batman, recast Wonder Woman, do them all. Like, just say fuck it.
Yes.
And not in a bad way. Like, it makes sense to kind of cut ties completely and just restart.
You don't want the baggage that comes with some of those castings and care. Like, I love Batfleck, right? And I have always wanted, like, a solo Batfleck movie. I think that would have been really good. And who knows? Maybe there's still a version of it that could be. But, like, bringing that character and that actor into it, he brings with him Batman v Superman and the Justice League and these kind of, like, things you wish you just weren't his path. You know what I mean? That just make the character as a whole not strong. As strong as someone that you're just starting fresh, a new take, a new, you know, something else.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I still think we just need a new 52 Batman movie. Like, do new 52 with Batman, where it feels like an actual, like, slightly futuristic new, you know, it's not just the classic version of the character, maybe.
I mean, I don't know where my Court of Owls movies is. I've been waiting forever.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And maybe we'll get that. And it's weird because I don't know. I would love to get it in like a DC Studios universe. See, we're already getting off tangents. But if they did it with Pattinson and like didn't have the Joker, just focus on the Court of Owls, but did like a really good story with it, that would be prime. Because I think Batman and Court of Owls works the best when he's by himself and not with like the Bat family personally. Because that's how the comic is for the most part, even though he has a Bat family and it's another interesting topic. But so what's connected, what's not connected? The answer is, well, some of it's connected and some of it's not recanonized. So we know Henry Cavill's out. James Gunn has said this, but they open to working with him again in the future. Obviously, there's a crisis kind of crossover, which is, if you guys don't know, our listeners, it's like the upcoming Secret Wars movie, but they did it first in the comics. It's what inspired Secret Wars, actually. So it's like all these past different versions of all these characters coming together, just like No Way Home, to fight a multiversal threat, which we'll get pretty soon in Marvel. Which we'll get a taste of in The Flash with Michael Keaton's Batman from 89, Ben Affleck's Batman, and then whoever else is in that movie. So Henry's out. They said that Wonder Woman, he basically said about that, well, we didn't fire him. He was never hired. And they said that, and James Gunn has been very candid, and apparently he's ruffled some feathers. A few reports have said this, but who knows? We don't know. With executives at Warner Brothers.
Well, I saw him throw some people under the bus.
He did.
With
he
one of his comments,
Henry
Cavill was jerked around by some, like, assholes in this company. You know, like I was like, whoa, man, like, you must have some really good job security or something, man. Like, wow. Well,
he can't. I mean, like,
he's right.
He probably can. Well, he's 100% right. But he could also say that because, like, they just announced him as boss. So he has some leeway in the beginning.
Yeah, they can't immediately do it. Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And it looks so bad.
Yeah.
So, like, he's got a little power.
How you get boycotts in the streets for comic book movies or something. You know?
Oh, yeah. Exactly. So, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're very passionate as fans. So, and again, let's get into this more. So, but they kind of said, like, okay, Gal Gadot has not been fired. The door is open for her to return. Jason Momoa is not Lobo right now.
Who's Lobo?
Lobo is you know who Lobo is?
I don't think so.
He's a DC Comics character. He's basically, I mean, Jason Momoa was born to play Lobo. Type it in real quick on your computer, your little computer device. Lobo, he's called the Main Man, and so he's basically like this biker. He looks like Jason Momoa. Like he looks like Jason Momoa was born to play Lobo. He's like a
hero.
He's kind of like a villain. He's like he's a bounty hunter. He's like the Deadpool kind of DC almost.
Okay.
But he
was he going to play Lobo? Jason Momoa.
He campaigned for it for a while, and then it was kind of wild that he actually was Aquaman and not Lobo. But anyway. Sure. He's called the Main Man. He's like a bounty hunter guy. So there was like a lot of heat, like, oh, Jason Momoa is going to play Lobo, because I had this big interview with James Gunn a couple weeks back, and he was asked about Aquaman 3, and it was just all the signs are pointing to him playing some other character, and I'm somewhat convinced they're not. But he also said, like, about Ezra, let's see what happens. Like this is him and Safran saying this, which is the other producer who also produced Shazam and Aquaman and all these movies that, like, he's friends with Zachary Levi, who plays Shazam. So it's, some of the movies he's produced, some of those characters seem like they're obviously open to returning versus some people who aren't, like Henry Cavill Superman. So
yes,
Safran was saying, like, well, let's just see what happens with Ezra. And so a lot of people are like up in arms about this, like, oh my God, they're not firing him immediately. And it's like, well, look, should they fire him? 100%. I still mind blown. Like, they have to say something, but the thing is, they're in a weird situation because their movie comes out in June, and so it's kind of like they can't. It's this weird thing about promoting the movie, but firing your main actor 6 months before the movie comes out, and they said, like, look, we're going to have a conversation with Ezra and like what they want to do with the future, which to me sounds like this. We're just waiting until the movie comes out, and then we're going to tell Ezra that you're not the Flash anymore, and then you're going to say that you're working on your mental health longer, and you've decided to step away from the role, and then everybody gets a clean break, right? And like, but we also save the movie a little bit.
I think that is 100% the most likely thing. I think I would not be surprised if even part of James Gunn coming in, there was like, the Flash has to come out. There's too much money. There's too much. It would not surprise me if that was not necessarily his decision, whether that movie still comes out or not. I don't know. Maybe it was, but having that so far down the pipeline when he stepped into the office first day, that just may have been like, you can't take that off the slate.
And who knows? This is just maybe him being a team player. But the video, he said, this is one of the best superhero movies I've ever seen. He said that.
I think we're getting into this weird part where, like, James Gunn has been this kind of like Hollywood outlaw who says what he wants and does what he says. And like, he isn't part of like the bullshit Hollywood, like giving canned answers, but he's now into a role where that's part of the job, is giving canned answers. Like, it's in the job description. You can't be as flagrant about things. And maybe he's still getting used to that. I don't know. But I feel like it's a purely economics thing. It's a thing of like,
I agree.
We've got him in a cage. We've got him subdued somehow, whatever. He's not in Hawaii or off the grid, like starting cults or something, at least right now. So there's the damage has been limited for what can occur between now and the movie. So yeah, you've got to hype it up. You've got to say these things. You've got to be like, yeah, well, Ezra's, we'll just have to see. Because, if you fire him now, I don't know, there's an argument that it makes it even more watchable because people are like, it's more dramatic and like, ooh, this is drama. And like, you want to go see the movie with the guy that, but at the same time, it would make WB look like really hypocritical if you're like, this actor was so, conducted himself in such a horrible way that we're no longer going to work with him. But we're going to make money off this movie he's in real quick, like 6 months later after we're not working with him. That's a PR nightmare. So, to me, this is a purely PR financial thing. Ezra Miller will not be the Flash anymore. I mean, I have a good feeling. I mean, part of me still feels like there's a way to change the ending of that movie and he's dead by the time the movie's over or something.
There's a couple things. One,
too much of a risk going forward. Like,
yeah, I mean, I love Barry Allen.
Good enough to like keep him. Like he's good, but he's not like, it's not like it's Chadwick Boseman in Black Panther or Tony Stark as Iron Man, where it's like there's no one else. Who else could play that role, right? Yeah.
And like a couple things. One, just, and that's the thing too. Like Henry Cavill, I love him as Superman, but I don't think Henry is still like the best actor of all time. Like, he's
no,
he like almost says just enough to be like, okay, this is serviceable, right? But he doesn't.
Yeah,
he's not the strongest actor. He's not like a Chadwick Boseman. Roles
with a bunch of range, and maybe that's indicative of like what his range is. And so maybe it is a thing of yeah, we want to make. Because I think, you know, I think since the beginning, you've dealt with Superman kind of being a little bit of a cardboard character. You know, he's always going to say the right thing. He always does the right thing. Yeah, exactly. And so you've got to find someone that can bring some nuance to that. Let's see like more of the human behind, you know, the Man of Steel kind of thing. And yeah. I think, yeah, maybe that is something that Henry Cavill would struggle necessarily to get the most out of that kind of role. I agree. I think too there's an argument for like I kind of want to see a younger Superman at this point. I feel like we've in the movies we've gotten pretty much like adult Superman the whole time. I know Man of Steel was like his like coming out, like he's first becoming Superman, but it still felt like it's old Clark Kent. It's like, you know, adult Clark Kent. I feel like there's maybe room here to like go a little younger. You know, try to find a character that has a little more less life experience. That is, I don't know. I just feel like I love Henry Cavill, and I think I love him in pretty much everything I've seen him in. And I with the knowledge that I know his range is a little limited, but right, what he yeah. does do well, he does better than most people do in that kind of stuff. Like
yeah.
his looks and like just he has a presence on the screen, you know, and he does those yeah, really
he's a,
well.
He's a hot looking dude. He's a hot looking dude.
He is.
And but here, I bring that but up I'm again okay. because
yeah, just, I'll finish that sentence. I'm okay. I'm not. I think it's a fine decision and maybe the right decision to move on from him at the same time.
I agree, and I want to touch back on that real quick in a second. But the reason I bring him up again is because it would also be very hard to talk out of if you're like, okay, you're going to hire Ezra back, who like no one particularly likes as the Flash, and he's also this character outside the movies where he's a lot of drama and potentially been, yeah. you know, grooming children and doing all these other really wild things that, you know, I'm not saying I don't know if they're true, but like it doesn't seem
smoke,
good.
There's fire and
something's happening,
whether there's as much fire as there is smoke, who knows, but you don't get into these situations by living a well-balanced and in control right. life.
Yeah. So, you don't hear about none of this stuff with Henry Cavill is my point. And like, everyone universally loved him outside of the role. Like, he's a great yes. person to work with. He's always been very charming. He's a gamer. He's always been very respectful, it seems like, to his colleagues. And like, it seemed like the women yes. who work with him, like, gush over him, yes. like how good of a person he is. And the men too, you know? So like,
yes.
I think it would be just really weird to give Henry the axe, you know, outside of creative decisions, and then also keep Ezra though. But again, I think yes. what we said earlier is kind of the route. I think it's they're playing the PR game until June 11th, which is the day Flash comes out, I think. And then it's like bye, Ezra. I think that's what's going to happen.
100%.
I can see, though, a lot of people like Wally West is the Flash. He's like their Flash, right? That's like Justice League, Unlimited Flash.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, he's kind of like our generation's Flash. I mean, like, I think so. But Barry Allen, to me, is my favorite Flash. But I could see them killing off Barry and bringing in Wally, you know, at the end of the movie. Or I think still the best way to do it, and maybe they did this, which again, it's like I kind of kept hoping that they would recast him at the end of the movie. Like, he'll look yeah. different when he comes back. But now, based on the comments, I'm like, okay, maybe they don't want to spoil the ending. But also, you feel like they would be like, want to get ahead of that. Like, look, at the end of the movie, we recast him. And so, like, that's it shows, like, why yeah. would you not want to tell people that? Because like only people like us would know that in the news outlets. I mean, I don't know. I feel like why didn't?
Yeah, I mean, I think what's more likely is that he dies and then they bring a new Flash back later. Like another Flash comes in later. It's easier too. Like it's easier to just be like, this is his curtain call, and maybe the next guy is Wally or
yeah,
I don't know. Possible. I mean, what Earth is this supposed to be taking place in? What Earth is Flashpoint is that happening in Earth 1?
Yeah, this is Earth 1.
Okay, so what it's going to do is it's going to, like, after Flashpoint, Earth 1 is basically a different reality, like a different...
Yes.
Okay.
This does it. Well, they say also the thing, again, guys, we will talk about Chapter 1 eventually, but this is important to the whole overall thing here.
Yeah.
Is that Shazam, which comes out in March, leads into The Flash, and The Flash leads into Aquaman 2, and Aquaman 2 leads into Superman Legacy. So like Jason Momoa's Aquaman is also canon. Like, so it's like, it's just very confusing. I feel like they're keeping pieces.
And it just, like, I would not have, I mean, I think Jason Momoa is actually pretty good in the role, but the Aquaman movie was not good to me. And I like, just bringing another one in the same vein of this, like, Indiana Jones, you know, global adventure escape. I mean, I guess I'm just, it's head scratchy to me that, like, that's one they would hang on to. Like, Gal Gadot, I kind of get
Peter
Gal
Safran.
Gadot is, like, an international, like, model, and like she fits the character of Wonder Woman both in looks and just like I feel like she's acted well with the character of Wonder Woman. Fine, I
mean, she's done okay,
doesn't have okay. a giant range either. But you know, I guess to me, it's like I get Gal Gadot. I'm guessing Ray Fisher's long gone. But yeah, it is a weird thing that
I like it.
They're keeping. Actually. I mean, maybe because Jason Momoa is just like a popular person, like he's a good person to keep in the universe, just because he's like a.
Well, here's why, Daniel. It's two things. One, Peter Safran, the other co-head now of DC Studios, produced the movie. And the second thing is, Aquaman is the highest grossing DC movie of all time, made over $1 billion. Aquaman 1 did. So again,
yeah.
Creativity is awesome, but money talks here. You know, so like, you know, I think they should recast Aquaman. He's not my Aquaman. Like, it's fine, whatever. No, he's Trevor Dubro Aquaman. Bro.
Yeah, I mean, like,
yeah. And so it's not my thing. I personally want my blonde hair, blue eyed, more Namor kind of like King of Atlantis kind of dickhead, but like superhero Aquaman. You know, that's what I want.
Yeah, and I think it's just. It's hard to feel like you can do a lot of different things with such a bro-y character. Like, unless like you're going to do this like deconstruction of his like bro-iness and turn him into this much more interesting person. But I don't know if Jason Momoa's got that in the locker. So it's just, it is interesting. Maybe that's just going to be like, okay, like Aquaman is still going to just be our like popcorn flick action movies that just are fun and don't really take themselves too seriously. Maybe they're trying to have these different, because it's weird. Cause like, it's hard to know, like, what are they going for? What, once their plan is in full motion, is it going to all feel like the same universe? Or are we going to have kind of these genre changes between characters? I mean, because that's what's kind of like the DCU up to this point has felt like, where it's just like, depending on the character, the genre of the movie changes almost. You know, like Wonder Woman's your classic kind of like Marvel adventure film. The Dark Knight, like the Batman and Superman movies are these dark, broody, kind of feeding off the Nolan-esque type Superman movies, and then you know you've got Aquaman, which is like a rambunctious romp, which is just a totally different genre. So it's really curious. It's like, what do they see their DC universe? Is it feeling congruent like Marvel, or is it more of these like we've got all these different flavors in the same variety pack?
I think there's an answer to that, and let's get into the actual slate now. So I could talk all day long about the confusionness of like what's happening with the next few movies and like all the stuff. Thing is, we really just don't know. It feels like, and it feels like they're also just waiting to see box office numbers before they make any final decisions about this kind of stuff. It's kind of like the movie, which is a little unfortunate. So we do know that the first thing coming out of chapter one is Creature Commandos, which has already been written by James Gunn. It's already been animated on. It's coming out sometime, I think, next year, but it's called Creature Commandos. It's a 7-episode animated show in which Amanda Waller creates a Black Ops team out of monstrous prisoners. Think Universal monsters like the Werewolf Man, those kind of things. And Gunn wrote all the episodes of the first season. So it has like Sergeant Rick Flagg and from the Suicide Squad, He's in both movies, but he dies in the Suicide Squad by James Gunn. Yeah. His dad's going to be in it. Like his dad is leading the group, which maybe
so is it a Joel prequel? McKinnon.
I don't know. Huh. It sounds like it. It sounds like it might be a prequel from like but Amanda Waller's in it. So I don't think so. I think it's like current day. Okay. So it's like there's one thing they're really adamant about is like they said, if there's a character in the cartoons now that are tied to this universe, they will be voiced by the actors playing them in the movie. It's kind of like almost like Marvel did with What If. So they really want to be like, to tell some of these other stories, but like in a much smaller budget, but through animation on HBO Max, which I think is great. Like, that's okay.
I love animation made for adults. It's like literally, like, if there's a new animated film or show for adults, I'm probably going to try. It's my jam. I love watching cartoons still, but I like watching cartoons that are with swear words and blood and guts too. So
I agree. So the other thing is we're working on is called Waller. It's starring Viola Davis. So she is one of two characters that have actually been confirmed to be cast in this new DC Studios.
Makes sense.
And one of them is Viola Davis. So she is being carried over from not only the Snyderverse, but also the James Gunn Suicide Squad movie into this new DC Studios movie, which she is like one of the best casted roles in all comic book movies, which, you know, I see that. Again, it's really kind of weird. Like, it feels like, well, let's get into it. So starring Viola Davis, this series features Team Peacemaker and will be written by person who wrote Watchmen and also one of the people who wrote Supernatural. Watchmen, so the HBO show.
So John Cena is the other one confirmed?
But he's not confirmed, but it says Team Peacemaker. So this looks like...
it would just seem crazy for James Gunn to not bring over his baby, which is John Cena. Like, well, it feels like
It says him. Team Peacemaker, and he is Peacemaker. So I would say the chances are yes, that he will...
I mean,
because we knew
it was so good too. Like, it would break my heart if they were just like, yeah, we're going in a different, because that was probably one of my favorite shows of last year, period. I loved it.
It was great. Again, one of my already like warning signs here is that we'll get into it later. Okay. So Team Peacemaker, we knew that season two was being worked on by James Gunn. We thought that would be like his next project after Guardians 3. Turns out he's going to run DC Studios now and also write a Superman movie. So the big thing is, I guess, it looks like at first we thought Peacemaker season two is canceled. I guess it's still on the books, but this will be happening in between those two things. Okay. And again, there's like, it's kind of, I mean, we're going to point it out, but like James Gunn's wife is on Peacemaker and now she's going to be in this Waller show. And then Peter Safran produced Aquaman and Shazam, and which I'm glad Shazam is staying, because I think I just rewatched it like a couple days ago.
I agree.
With Kim Lee and Jenner. And I think it's great. And I'm looking forward a lot to the second one. So I'm like, keep that one. Yeah, of course. Those are great. You could have started your DC universe with Shazam and been fine with it. Mm-hmm. So we're getting a Waller TV show. And then I think from there is kind of where time-wise, we get Superman, right? Superman Legacy. And it says it focuses on Superman balancing his Kryptonian heritage with his human upbringing, right? And Peter Safran in the video said, like, you know, we don't have a director yet, but I'm hoping James Gunn directs it, while James Gunn is sitting right there next to him. And James apparently just doesn't like say anything, right? So he's going to direct it, right?
Yes.
I mean, he's going to direct it, right?
I mean, unless he's able to like convince some like the Russo brothers, or I mean, like someone that is like would bring in hype just for the name, you know, like
they may do that.
If he gets Scorsese to agree to make a superhero movie or Spielberg, you know, I mean, I could, you know, but yeah, I mean, I think
the Russo brothers, they've talked about making a superhero. Like, they're like, yeah, we'd make Superman. They've said it. Like, we'd do that.
Yeah.
And then, like, you have Christopher McQuarrie, who like pitched a Superman movie to DC, apparently, this is rumors, to Warner Brothers, because he worked with freaking, you know, Henry Cavill on Mission Impossible. And so it's like, you can get Christopher McQuarrie to come in and do Superman Legacy, it would also be a huge get. You know, anyway.
Yeah. So unless they find someone that is like, ooh, this would be a huge get. But at the very least, he's going to executive produce it, I'm sure. And so, like, he'll be on set probably all day, even if he's not directing it. Kind of thing, you know, but I think him directing it would be, I mean, it's this weird thing of like,
it's a lot of work.
It would be him
it's
making a movie that we've not seen him, a style of movie we really haven't seen from him. Like a single character, comedy is not a subgenre of that movie. Every other movie he's made, it's comedy is a subgenre, like it's comedy drama, all of it. This would not be that. We're one character. It's no team up, right? I mean, I believe in James Gunn. I mean, everything he's done since I started following him has been fantastic. So he hasn't slipped up yet, but he's also been doing kind of the same style of things to a degree. Yeah. And so it is this thing of like, what would a James Gunn about one single character, and that's really supposed to be a drama action adventure kind of thing, what does that look like? I don't even know what that looks like. Could it? I don't know. It's an interesting thing.
I agree with you. I have no idea. And I don't know. Part of me wants like a classical kind of movie. I don't want like the Suicide Squad's experimental camera work. That, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want...
No, that because there's so many things that James Gunn does do consistently that it's kind of like his style that wouldn't work.
Right. I think so too.
The gross out humor or just like the constant... Like, there's always these irreverent characters, or these characters are always kind of irreverent to each other. Everything's, like, played for light and jokes a lot. Like, that just doesn't work in a superhero, like a Superman film.
Let's not forget, Daniel, that James Gunn did write both Scooby-Doo 1 and 2 of the movies now. So let's not forget that.
Exactly.
I like both of those, actually. Let's keep going. So we're going to kind of, not wrap this up, but kind of keep going here. So another TV show is Paradise Lost. So it's set in Themyscira, home of the Amazons and birthplace of Wonder Woman. This drama focuses on the genesis and political intrigue of an island of all women. It pitched it obviously as Game of Thrones, but with Wonder Woman and on an island of women, right? And so that's a TV show they're working on. I guess to kind of get some of that Wonder Woman flavor in there, but also not having to cast Wonder Woman or talk about Gal Gadot just yet. So
yeah,
I hope it's...
I mean,
you know, sure.
If it works, it works. If it works, it works. Yeah. It's one of those things of like, that could work, and it could totally not work. It depends completely on the writers and the actors, you know, things that have to be good for things to be good. It's like, and I think that's with a lot of these things of like, in what you're going to continue to get into. It's like, could work, but I don't know. Haven't seen, you know, we know Game of Thrones works, but we also know like no one else has been really able to do what Game of Thrones does yet. And people have tried. Right. So,
I agree. And the big thing too is I always wonder on these TV shows, Marvel's finally doing it with Loki season 2, but like, what does that mean? Are we getting multiple seasons? Are these one-offs? Are these limited series? I kind of always hope they're limited series. That's what I wish they'd call Loki season 2 something else. I like Loki colon something, just because I feel like it would make it feel, A, it would just be easier to kind of navigate for casual audience members. Okay, I need to watch this here, this when. But also like, I feel like, I don't know, it just kind of makes it feel more important and standalone in that nature.
I agree. But at the same time, I do think there are certain characters like Peacemaker who are better in a multi-series form. A Peacemaker movie would be good, but like, I'd rather that character in an hourly format, 8 episodes.
No, I agree. No, I wasn't saying that. I was just saying like, more of a naming. I have a big thing on names apparently in our podcast lately. I just think that it'd be cool to have these limited series and not so much like all these, you know, multiple seasons. And because I feel like they should really focus on, and they said they're going to focus on quality over quantity, right? They're going to really make sure every script's finished before they go into production, which James Gunn was like, yeah, something Marvel does not do.
I know. We can tell with the past TV shows, it is quite obvious.
Yeah, he said that. I mean, he said like, yeah, this, you know, something that Marvel. He said they want to do the same thing. Like Marvel's always working on the movie until like the day before it comes out, but they want to have a script solid before they go into production. Which I like. That's how it should be. You should have your movie seems completely like mapped out.
Filmmaking 101. That is what you learn in filmmaking 101. You don't shoot.
Well, the thing that Marvel did differently was that they would be editing. And James said this, his words, like to the day before it comes out, which is like,
wow, how do they have time to distribute it by after that?
I don't know. I mean, part of it's satellite, part of it's I really don't know.
Digital now, you don't need hard drives, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you do need hard drives, but like for that premiere at least, it's digital, so they can beam it up in a satellite or USB drive or something.
Oh,
at
like
least
for the premiere, the official premiere, like when it's on, like probably the red carpet premiere, the only people seeing it are those people that night. Okay,
yeah, I mean, they can't change it at that point anyway, so it's like
I was thinking they were changing it like the day before it hits wide release, kind of thing.
Like, yeah, well, I mean, how would
get it to all the
yeah, no, so I mean, they have like probably a week from the premiere to kind of get their shit in order, right? But I think that's a good thing. It's like, it's a good thing and a bad thing, right? They're always tinkering to make it the best possible, but they're not only just tinkering with like visual effects and editing, they're tinkering with like plot points and story beats. And like, that's where they get in trouble. Right. And so I think that's a good balance, right? The story is locked before they start shooting, but they can tinker as long as they need to.
And that's just filmmaking. Things come up on the set. New shots happen. You get ideas. Good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Another. So let's get into more of the movies. One of the things that was announced was The Authority, which is already these are like making all these comics sell out. But The Authority, which I was like, whoa, okay, that's an interesting choice. Not something I'm super familiar with. But apparently it's they were a group of characters that DC acquired, I think, in the 80s or 90s. Or I think the 70s, 80s. And they bought them and they kind of become part of DC characters. But they're basically a group of people that take matters into their own hands to do what they believe is right. And so it's almost like the Seven from The Boys or something like that, where it's like a these group team. Of characters, superhero team that's probably sanctioned by the government. And I would assume that Amanda Waller is behind The Authority. It's her version of the Justice League. But here's the thing,
darker, though. Not as like clean, like a little more. Gray characters, like
100%. Yeah, it's what this is. People.
Okay.
But this to me is the first clue as to where this chapter is going.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So this is, you know, the thing about interesting about Superman and Wonder Woman, the Flash, and all these other characters. You can call them a god or a monster depending on your perspective, right? Mm-hmm. And we also are getting monsters with like Creature Commandos, and like Superman's a god, right? So it's like two sides of the same coin. This chapter name, to me, when I hear The Authority, I'm like, okay, this is the start of the universe. So we know that the universe, they said that this at least, that the universe already has superheroes. There's already these crazy things happening. Like, we're not starting like Iron Man 1. Tony Stark's the first superhero, right? And which I like. I kind of prefer they would go that route. I'd prefer that route where they go realistic and get crazy with it. But that's not what we're doing. We're doing DC is DC. We're already in this crazy world with superheroes in it. To me, I think when this starts officially with Superman, there is no Justice League, right? This is not, we've never heard of the Justice League in this universe. The Authority will be the government's answer to all these supervillains, all these superheroes, whatever.
Right.
And essentially, the Authority will become the villains in this chapter one, and the Justice League will be formed out of justice to stop the Authority. That's my that's my guess right now.
It makes a lot of sense. I like it too, because it's not just like a we're not just doing a Thanos or a Darkseid where it's just big bad wants to kill everything because big bad kind of thing, which is like. It's hard to make that interesting more than just the scale. The scale is that there's no higher scale than what that is. You know what I mean? And so I think I am a fan of the idea of we're going with a smaller scale conflict. We're not talking about the world ending or the galaxy ending or all life going away. We're talking about who's in charge and freedom and how the Authority or the Authority, the team, and just like the government authority are handling just everyday things in this world. And that I feel like is such a more interesting playground for stories than, well, who's the next CGI character that wants to kill everything?
Yeah. This feels like they're kind of taking cues from a Civil War, right? Like this is these group of people's, like their ideology versus this group of people, right? And obviously I assume the Authority is going to be like, you know, killing people that, like, you know, it's like they're more of a casualty, like we don't care as long as the bigger goal just think is like, no, you got to take care of everybody kind of thing, right? We don't kill kind of thing.
Yeah
So I think that, and which is interesting because it's like that's kind of some of the things that in Black Adam that the Justice Society were trying to talk about, right? Like we don't kill versus Black Adam who does kill. And so I think they're taking now a whole chapter or a whole 10 plus movies to kind of talk about this particular thing, which I think is smart because also it gives a reason why the Justice League exists anyway, besides we have to come together to stop this threat. It's like, well, we're coming together to stop not only the physical threat, but also this ideology that we don't agree with.
Yes. And I think that is just, that's a much more compelling reason for them to come together than just saving the world. And also it leads to where like, their Avengers moment will be the Avengers, them all coming together and fighting the Authority. And I think, I hope you're right. I mean, now my hopes are like into that idea. And if it's anything not that, that's less than that, I'm going to be really disappointed.
Here at Podcasting for One. We make things better.
We come up with better ideas than the movies. And then we get our hopes dashed into the cold
that's
ground.
That is the pattern. But I think that to me seems like the logical thing that could happen here. It makes sense to me. And it's smart to start it out so early in the chapter. Like, you're starting the 30 out early. So
you're starting with the at least the eventual bad guys. We'll see. They may start out as more heroic or like which I would like. I would actually prefer, let's see their downfall. Let's not just see them starting out at like the finished product of these like kind of, you know, difficult or bad people. I want to see the progression. I want to see them start as the seven on paper and end up as the seven as they really are, almost, kind of thing.
Exactly. That's exactly what I think is going to happen. And I think it's a smart idea. Going back to TV. So we also have Booster Gold, which is one of Matt's favorite characters. It's always a great character. So Booster Gold uses basic technology from the future to pretend to be a superhero in present day.
So he's just a basically future. He's from the future.
He's a janitor, I think, at the Superhero Museum, and he steals some of the technology out of the museum and then travels back in time and uses that to be like a celebrity and to be like, you know, pretend to be a superhero. And so it's a great character, and I think it's a
fun almost idea. Like a little bit like Iron Man, but he's not a genius. he's just a guy that stole shit from the future.
Yeah, exactly. So I think
he's
an
idiot, kind of like he's
yeah. Some people are saying Chris Pratt could be Booster Gold. Yeah, it seems like Chris Pratt could be Booster Gold. It seems like,
or even, I mean, honestly, John Cena could have potentially been a Booster Gold, like that kind of like.
Oh yeah, probably like, yeah, definitely. Yeah, I'd say Buffoon. You know, he's not as dumb as that, but I think he used to be a quarterback or something, a failed quarterback. I could be wrong here.
Okay.
And I think, but anyway, that's a good idea. I can't wait to see it. They've been talking about Booster Gold forever on the TV landscape and movie landscape, and they feel like they're fixing to finally do it, and I think it's cool. Another TV show, which is one I'm probably most excited about here, it's Lanterns, and apparently it starts Hal Jordan and Jon Stewart. It says that it's a True Detective style HBO show, where they uncover a dark mystery. And it said that, and again, keep in mind, they said that all these movies are connected to something larger, right, in the future. TV show, which I think I told you guys privately, this one kind of hurt me a little bit, where they're like, hey, Donovan, here's your favorite things. We're going to do it without you. I'm like, God damn, True Detective and
Green Lantern. Listen, you're going to do the True Detective Batman. Because that's the character that really needs the True Detective treatment. Because I feel like
his... It did that.
His mystery...
To a lot of people.
What in the Batman?
We don't agree, but a lot of people agree.
They think it's true. They compare it to True Detective.
I mean, not True Detective, but like, what else? Well, like, that is as serial killer detective you could get in a Batman movie. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, well, and True Detective was very much influenced by like Seven and stuff, so...
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it all feeds itself there. But I'm saying, like, that's good. Hate it or love it, that is the detective Batman movie that we've gotten.
Only
so
in
far.
Appearance, in substance, it was not. But okay,
I agree.
That was another podcast. You can watch the.
I can't wait for that breakdown when we do in the future when Batman Part 2 comes out in two years.
Yes,
that's going to happen. I'm telling you right now. I'm dating the pod. So. Yeah, True Detective sounds, you know, it's a different, I mean, I always kind of imagine Lethal Weapon, right? Buddy cop kind of movie, but I'm down for this. It sounds like, I mean, it's Green Lantern for one. I'm just fucking down anyway, but I can't wait to watch it. Intergalactic cops solving a mystery on Earth tied to something larger in the DC universe. I'm in. It could be the stepping stone for the anti-life equation, you know, with like what dark side.
Yeah, I was thinking that
for.
Too, like something that is actually for chapter two. They like the seeds begin here. Yeah.
I think it's smart, right? Again, they have an 8 to 10 year plan, and this is kind of the first 4 or 5 years here we're talking about. And again, this could change. They could, you know, make Superman Legacy and it don't perform well at the box office and you know, all this changes.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, if they start underperforming, then it's just like a matter of time before Gunn's gone, probably. But I doubt. That's the path this will take. But we'll see.
I don't know. We'll see.
We've never seen... we know Gunn's a good director. We don't know how good of a studio head he is. So.
Yeah. I mean, Man of Steel made $600 million, and it was considered like a failure in the studio's eyes. You know what I'm saying? So
why? Because critically? Or because it didn't make over a billion?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, the first one there. And then Batman vs. Superman made 800 something million. It was also considered a failure because it didn't make over a billion because it had Batman and Superman, which I get it, but
sure,
that movie also just wasn't made for the general audiences. It was made for adults and not kids, which is crazy. So let's get into the final movies here in this chapter one. So we have Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow, based off the Tom King run. So basically where it presents a Supergirl, viewers are not used to seeing. And essentially in this version, this is not common. This is like only 6 issues or 8 issues ever existed on this version of this character. But she was basically, you know, she grew up on Krypton. She's like 15 or 16 or a little older, right? And traditionally, Kal-El was shipped off to planet Earth, and she was shipped off too. She ends up getting there later, or her pod opens up later by accident, and Superman has grown up on Earth. You know, she's supposed to be his protector. And so it's like he ends up mentoring her, but she's like technically older than him, right? So that's a traditional Supergirl story. So this one, it sounds like she gets marooned on like a side planet or something while Krypton gets destroyed. And she basically has to battle and fight her way through this, and also while watching her planet get destroyed, and then it comes to Earth. So she apparently is a more savage, kind of ruthless Supergirl. It sounds like. I don't really know. Okay. I could be, maybe I'm being too hard on it, but it sounds like she's a little tougher than previous Supergirls.
Okay.
And so that's kind of the pitch. That's the movie, Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow. And interesting, we're getting two super, like Superman and Supergirl pretty close together.
Yeah.
Without Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I mean, who they cast will be really interesting, and who's writing and directing.
Well, they asked her, are you going to cast Sasha Kell, I think Kell is her last name, as Supergirl, who plays Supergirl in The Flash.
The TV show?
The movie coming out.
Oh, she's in it. I didn't know.
So, yeah, she's a huge character in the upcoming movie. Like, whenever Flash, when Flash changes the timeline, instead of Superman, Supergirl's going to be there.
Ah, okay. Gotcha.
In this version with Michael Keaton there.
Gotcha.
So she's in the trailer, in that first trailer, she's like on the very far right, you know, and there's set photos of her. Supergirl, she's wearing like a very Henry Cavill, like Supergirl costume.
Gotcha.
And so, And also, I'm pretty sure they shot, like an extra scene of Henry Cavill in The Flash as like Superman when he comes back. But I think they've, like, that was a reshoot to bring Cavill back, I think. And now they're nexting that too, I think. So it's like, gosh, Henry Cavill, man, he's getting shit on constantly. So the last two movies here, one of them is The Brave and the Bold, which is Batman. So this is Batman and Robin in this unusual father-son story inspired by Grant Morrison's comic series. So they've said that this will involve the Bat family, which typically consists of Batgirl, Nightwing, which is Dick Grayson, which is the first Robin, right? The Robin that we probably all know and love. And maybe Red Hood's in there, which is Jason Todd, Robin. Maybe Tim Drake is in there, the third Robin, but it sounds like we're getting Damian Wayne, which is Bruce's son from Talia al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul's daughter. So she basically, what happens is she has sex with Batman, and he ends up fathering a child unbeknownst to him. He goes off to become Batman for 10 years, and then 10 years later, she's like, hey, here's your son. Train him or whatever. And it's kind of like manipulation on her part, but it's also, I don't know. So... And Damian's like an assassin. He's like a trained assassin. So he like kills people, which is anti-Batman, right? Sure. And so it's a already conflict there. And I'm telling you right now, Damian's like a piece of shit in the comics. Like, I fucking hate him.
You would love how they treat Damian in the Harley Quinn TV show, animated show.
Good, I fucking hate him.
Because he's in it. They're all in it. But they make him seem like a whiny brat the whole time. And it's really
That's funny. How he is. He's awful. I mean, the thing is too, like, can you do this in a good way? Sure. I've never cared for the character, and I miss that we're not getting Dick Grayson versus Robin. We're kind of skipping a lot of lore to get to something that seems like James Gunn likes versus what I think is best for the universe. I mean, the thing is, it's different, right? They're trying to constantly reboot the universe, but then like tackle different aspects of Batman, and they're jumping around different continuities, which is fine, you know? Yeah. So I don't know yet, but on the surface I'm interested. But if I could bet money that Ben Affleck will direct this movie.
Well, they've already talked about that, right? Or he's been talked about being involved in it, or they're talking with him about it, or something like that.
Well, James Gunn said in last month or so, like, we've talked to Ben, and we're trying to find the right project for Ben. And Ben wrote a Batman movie. Ben also, you know, he played Batman. He does love the character, even though it seems like it gives him much grief in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
He decided to come back for The Flash, and I can see him combining even elements, because one thing Warner Brothers is kind of famous for is taking unused scripts and repurposing them. So I could see them taking some of his script and combining it, where like Deathstroke is the villain. I can totally see that, because Deathstroke is also a big Teen Titans villain, which is Nightwing. So I could see a version of like Damian being dropped off to Batman, then Deathstroke coming, and then them team up to fight Deathstroke. I could see that.
Yeah. I can see it.
And Ben Affleck's an Academy Award winning director, you know, so I could see that, you know, he
could work.
This one. I don't know. I'm curious. And we're getting Superman Legacy July 11th, 2025, and we're getting the Batman Part 2 in October of 2025. So we're getting a Batman Superman in the same year, different universes.
Yeah.
And
then Joker's in there somewhere, right? Or before that?
I want to say Joker's end of 2024. I think is what that
is. Yeah, I would think so. I would think it'd be.
I'm pretty sure it's what that is.
They're already
it could easily come out this fall, but I think they're trying to avoid Aquaman and everything else coming out. Right. So that's that. And the last thing they announced was Swamp Thing. So it said the film will investigate the dark origins of Swamp Thing. That's all I said about it. And apparently, it looks like James Mangold is attached to direct. He tweeted out a picture of Swamp Thing. And the reports are breaking he's in final negotiations to direct Swamp Thing, which we know him from, obviously.
Yeah.
3:10 to Yuma, the Wolverine, Logan, Ford versus Ferrari, and then an upcoming Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. So,
yeah.
Pretty good director.
Definitely. And walk the line.
And so, yeah. So you walk the line. I missed one. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm very excited to see that movie. And this kind of brings back to one of the things we talked about earlier, was you said, is the universe to be consistent across tone? And they kind of already said, like, look, we want every filmmaker to bring a different tone and style to every movie.
Mm.
And then we'll worry about combining those styles and like the big crossover stuff. But we want Batman to feel like Batman. We want Superman to feel like Superman. Swamp Thing to be like a horror movie. And then they'll combine all those things later, which I think is fine. Like, I like the consistency that Marvel does on the movies, but we've seen just in the last couple of years on Disney Plus that they've really started to branch out to different genres, like Werewolf by Night and these other things, right? So, I'm curious to see those things kind of combine into something bigger, just like this.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I have to think it's easier to just do everything kind of the same or more consistently, like similar, right? I feel like Marvel's approach is probably easier. You're just more in control. And you can more, I don't know, just it's there's things that are so similar across projects. I just think that probably is easier to manage. At the same time, I think like James Gunn, their plan is potentially way more interesting. But I have to think it's harder to manage. Making sure your horror movie hits like a horror movie to horror movie fans, making sure your Batman hits as a noir detective movie, or your Superman hits as this, like. And making them all come together and feel like they belong together, not feel like you're just kind of forcing round pegs into square holes just so that they're all on screen kind of thing. That sounds more challenging to me compared to making an Avengers movie where they're all coming from kind of the same genre of film. Now they're just all together and you got to figure out how to share screen time. And that's basically like the most, like, how do you make sure every character feels like they're on screen enough and the story works? That's your main thing. When you're combining genres with characters, that just seems infinitely more difficult to make work and feel good. So I am applauding the venture. I think it sounds more interesting. I would like there to be more variety with Marvel, than what they've given us lately. It's that weird thing of like, they weren't giving us a lot of variety, but they were giving us, everything was like at 100% in terms of just quality. They didn't, you know, we were getting what we knew we were getting, but we were getting it perfectly almost, versus now where we're still getting what we knew we were always getting, but it's not as perfect. Right. And so it is this thing of like, yeah, if you're going to try to do something different, try to give me a smorgasbord of superhero content, that sounds great. But it makes me more skeptical a little bit of like how it will all pan out, just because I think it's a taller mountain to climb than Marvel's method, maybe.
It is. Yeah. And I agree with you. I know a couple more things here. They said that they want to kind of stick to two movies and two TV shows a year. That's kind of their game plan, which I think is doable. It's not like,
plenty.
It's not crazy. And it's not like not enough, you know?
Right.
And they also said that, this is another big part of the thing that some people talk about, some are not, but they said that they want to have even the games connect to this DC Studios, which I don't think is going to happen the way they want it to happen for a multitude of reasons. But the example that James Gunn said was like, look, we have a Superman movie that come out, and then a couple years later, Supergirl comes out. Maybe in between there, we have a crypto game or something that is in the same universe, but it's about a different character, but it ties into the overall larger universe. That you don't feel like you're missing out.
It's not a Superman game?
No, it's like something different, a crypto game or something. This is the example he said.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's that thing of like maybe, but like if you're going to make a Superman game, whatever A-list, I would assume, actor you're going to get, or whoever actor will become A-list after you cast them as Superman, the job of like voicing a character is like, okay, you have to read like 12,000 lines of dialogue because you have to read every line in a different tone and a different like thing. You know, I feel like it doesn't seem practical for there to be a Superman game voiced by the same. If Henry Cavill was still Superman and they made a Henry Cavill video, like a Superman video game with you're playing Henry Cavill's Superman, they wouldn't have the budget for that many hours of Henry Cavill. You know what I'm saying? Like would require to do it right. And so it sounds like it's something that on paper sounds nice. Oh, that sounds nice to have this consistent. This like consistency across characters or whatnot. But like, it also sounds like if you hold to that rule too hard, you're going to end up maybe making the games worse in some ways. You know what I mean? Like, and I guess for me, it's like consistency is cool, but I want the top priority to be making good shit, whether it's a video game, a TV show, or a movie. And so I want you to cast the people that make the best shit. I don't care if it's crossed over personally. I just want it to be amazingly well done. And so it's a little bit like, okay, that sounds cool, but like, we'll see how that works out.
Well, a couple of things. One, this also ties into the animation stuff, but as we saw with What If, like sometimes actors in live action do not translate well to great in animation.
It's a totally different career. I mean, like most people that like have made careers as voice actors don't do a lot of live action. And like, there's very few Hollywood movie actors that have done a lot of voicing because it's a different ball game. You know what I mean? Like it's completely different. And so you're having to do all your acting inside a sound booth instead of on a set or on a green screen. Like it's just a different ball game. So yeah, I think it seems like wishful thinking maybe in some ways.
It does. And here's the other thing for me is like, okay. And let's just go with the example he used, a crypto game. So like, that sounds like to me, like maybe not a huge game, but
yeah, I don't even know what that would be. It's like based it's like on Kryptonite. Like it's a game where you're on.
I don't know. No, no crypto. No. Crypto is the crypto, the dog.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
Crypto the dog.
Yeah. Okay.
Crypto
sorry.
Dog. Sorry.
I didn't realize that was the dog or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Crypto the dog. So they had a DC Super Pets come out last year as a reference for you.
What was it?
Played by, I think. No, it was a movie. I mean, Dwayne Johnson plays Crypto.
And DC Super Pets. Really? Never even.
It's a good movie. I actually liked it. It's on HBO Max.
Okay, cool.
Reese would really like it probably. Yeah. Guess who's fucking the bat dog, which is guess if The Rock is playing Crypto, guess who's playing the bat dog?
Vin Diesel?
No.
Okay, sorry.
Kevin Hart.
Okay.
It's not a bad movie, actually. It's actually a pretty decent movie.
But I'm sure it's a pretty good little comedy with some funny superhero based jokes.
It is, yeah. He didn't make much money, but The Rock had a tough year last year. Let's just say that. So
he did. Yeah.
But the thing I think about too is a gamer. I'm like, I don't know a single game that's come out on time anymore.
Yeah. Right.
So like how can you plan these games amongst your phase with like delays and like making games is just like I don't know if James Gunn knows how to make a game. Maybe he does.
Like I don't know if he knows. I guess he probably doesn't really know.
Well, I mean, like the logistics, just the, you know, I feel like a gamer needs a studio director of a game is like, hey, here's what it takes to make a game in terms of process and planning and just resource. Like, that's crazy. And so I don't know if they could. I think that one will fall from the wayside eventually, right?
That's one that they just never bring it up again. Probably not that many people will ask them about it.
Yeah. Exactly. I think it's going to not happen eventually.
It's one of the things, it looks good on paper, like as another bullet point of like, here's our way, we're doing the DCU. It's going to be consistent and stuff. But it's like,
That's what I think. Before we wrap up here, Daniel, I just want to ask, like, what's the thing on this list here that excites you the most? What thing do you be like, okay, like if I could pick any of these projects, this is the one I want to watch right now and I can wait for the other ones?
Probably The Waller Show, just because I know it's probably going to be really good. It's just like, I think it's the thing that I can bank on is like, I know I'm going to probably like that. If it's like John Cena's Peacemaker team, Viola Davis's Waller, and James Gunn kind of still telling stories in the vein that James Gunn likes to tell them, I think that to me is the one that on this list is going to be like, I will put the most money on that being good. Everything else feels like so much of a coin toss.
Well, he's not writing it. He's also not directing it.
Okay. Did he write and direct? He at least directed the TV show, or at least a couple episodes.
He wrote and directed every episode of Peacemaker. Okay.
But as long as he's like, it's still kind of his vein of show and it's he's got his handprints on it. I don't know. I mean, as far as just like characters I want to see, like I'm really interested in the Green Lantern show, just honestly, mostly because of the genre. I don't have a lot of just experience with the character or the world of Green Lantern. I've always liked just the aesthetic of it. But it's like, I'm really interested in what they kind of do with like the True Detective part of that. And then I think other than that, like I love Batman, and I think I got spoiled in like my late high school, early college years with the Nolan trilogy of just like, I came out at least of the first two movies feeling like that was just a completely amazing Batman experience. Like it made me fall in love with the character again, kind of movies. And like, since then we've had good moments and good scenes and good parts of movies and like good, like in interesting reinterpretations of the character, but we haven't had one where I'm just like, fuck yes, Batman again. Like, it's just like, reminds me of being a kid and watching the old TV show, you know, like of just in love with like everything feels like it's flowing and it feels like Batman in his world. So I think the Batman family movie, I'm like, I'm really interested because I just am really interested to see it. You know, maybe Batman Part 2 will change my mind, but that interpretation of the character, for me, it doesn't feel like was made, like for me, ideally in mind, my kind of audience viewer, what I'm looking for in a Batman, right? It didn't connect for me. So maybe they fix a lot of that in the Part 2. Maybe the Part 2 will be like what I wanted Part 1 to be all along. But if not, then like, yeah, the Bat family is kind of like my next hope of getting like another return to form for Batman on in the movie screen, I guess, is like, maybe that's when I'll get that itch scratched again that hasn't been scratched since like 2008.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I told you the Batman was like one of my most anticipated things ever. And I was just foaming at the fucking mouth for that movie. And I still think it's like an interesting case study where it hits almost everything like a 10 out of 10, but it falls apart in its most important place, which is a story.
Yeah. And it's like, if you watched it without the sound on, you would assume that it was the greatest Batman movie of all time. If you just watched it as a silent movie, you're like, surely everything I'm seeing is paired with a great story that connects it all.
Yeah. Again, it's just, it's really just third act stuff. And also, that's an interesting conversation. I can't wait
You're
to have
right.
a conversation
It actually
with
is
you.
Mostly the third act.
It really is. And also, there's a push and pull there of you want your audience members to feel like they can solve the riddles. But they, so they might have been a little too easy to solve. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think you're right. It is the third act problem. But the unfortunate thing is, like, the third act's like the most important act because it's the note it you end on. And so, you know, it, I would say Rogue One actually has a really poor first act, but has an amazing third act. And so you don't even care about how some of that setup was a little sloppy or rushed by the time you're at the finale. Right.
Yeah. Dude, I remember watching
the opposite problem happens with the Batman, where it's like, I'm in it. I can't wait. And you're like, oh, this slow deflation of like, this is all it is narratively.
Yeah. I mean, when we watched, I remember like just the first half, I think it's like a perfect first half. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just even with its story fumbles, like it's, I love it.
It and sets then, up the character in the world. Really?
Yeah,
really.
The Batmobile scene. Anyway, point is, I don't know what my point. Oh yeah, so you're excited about Superman or not? You're excited about Lanterns.
Three is like the Waller show, just because I think I can bank on that being good and being what more of what I want with Peacemaker. The Green Lantern show, just because I'm really interested in the premise, and then Batman, just because it's Batman Batman is like the. I mean, I love Spider-Man, but I don't know. Batman may be more of a favorite for me. I don't know. It's hard to
tell. Yeah, I get it. Hey, Batman is Green Lantern in my top three. And it Spider-Man being number one, and that can change depending on how I feel in the day. But it's probably always going to be Spider-Man. But I agree. Batman's Batman. I mean, if you put a gun to my head and say, which one of these movies like do you have to have or you'd pick, if you knew they're all going to be 10 out of 10, I'd say probably Batman, you know? But like,
yeah.
But. Because I like the character so much. But I need to see the director of The Brave and the Bold and the writer before I really kind of start.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of Batman is this going to be? What kind of Batman family is this going to be? And you know what? It makes me a little nervous that the first step into this Batman world is all of them. Like, I would prefer, ideally, a solo Batman movie and then Batman movie 2. Let's get the family in there. But I agree. I want to set him up well. I don't want to feel like I'm annoyed at all these other characters on screen when I just want more Batman.
I agree. But to answer my own question, my most anticipated thing, obviously, I want to see Lanterns. But also, I also don't know if I'll be able to pull it off or not. You know, like, I mean, I want to see that really bad. Yeah. But my most anticipated one is Superman Legacy, just because I need a Superman movie that hits me like all these other Marvel movies do. If I can get a Superman movie that's as good as The Winter Soldier or as good as Spider-Man No Way Home, but like Superman,
right?
Then I'm in like that. And Grant, I love Man of Steel. I do like that movie a lot. But even then,
me too.
It did a few key things. I'm like, that's not Superman. And they've already said Gunn's like, our Superman does not kill. They said that.
Good.
And they said like, it feels like he really gets the character. And they even said like the truth, justice, and the American way, which I was like, oh, we're going back to the American way now, not just the world way. You know,
interesting.
They changed that for the comics recently. And so I'm like, say recently, 5-10 years. But I think Superman Legacy, which I think is a weird title, but I just, I'm in for that one. That's what I want to see. They said that the DC universe truly starts with that movie. It's going to set the tone for the rest of the universe. Even though we're having Creature Commandos come out first and all these other things. To me, that's the one I'm like, I need that one right now. And we're only 2.5 years away, but which means we're We're 6 months to, or about 6 months probably away, 6 months to a year before casting. I probably say 6 months for casting, and then they'll be shooting probably beginning of next year. So yeah, you know, I'm pretty excited overall for the slate, and we'll have plenty of more to talk about on Podcast Super One as the coming years present themselves. And you know, we have Marvel coming out around the corner with Ant-Man Quantumania. Last of Us is getting close to its mid-season here. Mandalorian starts back up in March, so there's plenty to talk about here. And how can our listeners find us, Daniel?
Listeners, you can write into bit.ly/241mail. Let us know what you thought of the new DC. Is it DCEU or is it DCU now? Have they made it official?
It's officially DCU. And it's good. It's DC good. Studios.
Good. That makes just so like much Marvel. More sense. Yeah.
It makes sense.
They were just, it, before it just felt like they were trying to be different. And that was stupid.
So fucking stupid.
Yeah. So bit.ly/2for1mail. Let us know what you think of the new DCU slate. Are you excited? Are you skeptical? Let us know. And yeah, be sure to tune in the future episodes. We're going to be covering Ant-Man, The Last of Us. And I mean, it feels like the entertainment slate, the TV slate, starting to heat up for the year. And that's exciting.
Yep. It is. We have a lot to come out pretty soon. It's going to be a fun year. It'll be a fun year talking about all this cool stuff.
Hell yeah.
And I think, yeah, it'll be a really fun year. Anyway, my name is Donovan Thompson.
I am Daniel Wingfield.
And we have spoken.